Lord bless each and every one this evening. Please remember to keep Samuel in prayer. He's very sick. He's not well. And Andrea got an infection in her chest. Remember me as well in prayer. I tore something in the back of one of my legs here. I was fitting pipes on a job and I went to step on the pipe to move the sling. And slipped on the sudden jerk, I tore a muscle in the back of my leg. But I'm all right, I'll survive. But it's nasty, but at the time, but God's a healer, isn't he? Amen. God is a healer. Let's read Romans 8:29. And I want to talk tonight about we don't lose salvation. There's a lot of people who preach. You can be lost after you're saved. Now, to me, if God can save you and lost you, God is a failure. I'll tell you that right now. God's a failure, not the person. That's making God out to be a failure. Coming after that. But I don't believe it. I believe if you're saved, that's it. Do you know why? Because the Bible says everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation. But you can put it down eternal security, Matthew, if you want another part. I've got on this now and I've got it in my head and I'm looking at it, studying at it, reading it, and there's so many wonderful scriptures. Let's read Romans 8:29 and then we're going to pray. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's bow our heads. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord while every head's bowed and every eye closed. And we'll remember you in prayer. God bless you. There's a lot of hands up tonight. And Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you tonight in the precious name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that, Lord, you left the glory and splendor of heaven above when you became incarnate. Came as a man, Lord, and you went the whole way to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And on the third day, God raised you from the dead. And we thank you, Lord, the tomb is empty tonight, the cross is empty, and you're risen tonight and you're seated at the right hand of the majesty in high, and he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, we would pray that you would cover us for your precious blood. We would ask, Lord Jesus, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'll have your way in this service tonight and bless your word to each and every heart. And anyone that's struggling or worrying, will you bless them and strengthen them? And Lord, you see the many hands raised tonight. You know every need, every situation, and even maybe somebody who would listen in at a later date to the sermon or messages. Lord, we just pray you'll bless them and strengthen them and touch them. Heal those that need your healing for financial blessing. Bless. Press down and running over the top. Lord, I just take by faith the Holy Spirit right now to help me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit and your help in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God has a predestinated people. Now, we know that the Bible talks about being conformed. I'm going to read it in a moment. Conformity. And we know that there is something we still have to come to. What will not be like it in these bodies, we still have to come to it. We know that. We're not saying that we haven't reached that yet, but we could be living, because the rapture could take place in our lifetime. And we could go to meet the Lord and we could be changed, and that could happen to us. We might never die. Some of us might never die. But that's down to God. We don't know when that is. Now, I know there's some people on they say we're in the millennium, and there's other people say different things. But we know we're not in the millennium. We know we're still here, that we've still things we had to work with. But there is a conforming that's still to take place to the image of a son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, we read. But the day of Christ's appearing, let me read you 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When the Lord comes for us, we will be changed. We will be like the Lord. Amen? So there is a change yet to take place in our bodies. But we have eternal life now in us, regardless to that. We are saved and we're born again of the Spirit of God. And if our physical body went to the grave tonight, we have a soul, we have a spirit that goes to be with the Lord. We have everlasting life. There's so many scriptures, you will not come into condemnation and so forth. Now, it's the Father's eternal purpose. You know, if God was to fail, the Father's eternal purpose, it's like saying it's placed in jeopardy if it's into the human hands. If it's down to the human being, me or you, that puts it in jeopardy straight away, because any of us could fail. But we're not working with our hands to do it. Think of before you even got saved. It wasn't down to you that you got saved. It was all God. It was the Spirit of God that moves you to get saved. And it is fulfillment. You know, God moved us. God's Spirit moved us. And God ordained everything, and God knows the end from the beginning, and we know that God is infallible. So because God is infallible, it's going to happen the way he's planned it to happen, because he knows the end from the beginning. Now look at predestination. You know that predestination is founded on love. That's what predestination is founded on. God loved you. He predestined you. And he said his love. Let me read you some scriptures, and a few scriptures tonight. Now, it won't be too long. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So God loved us with everlasting love. You know, John 3:16. God so loved the world. And God loves us. God loves the world, but God loves us with an everlasting love. So that means that if it's everlasting, it never fails. It doesn't have bad days. They're all the same. It's all good. Now there's absolutely no variance in his love. God's not like us. Our love can go up and down. We work a lot in emotions. Some people's more emotional than other people. And you know that some people's highly strung, other people's not. But nevertheless, all of us work on emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just telling you that God is above all that, in the sense that them things don't move God. Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore your sons of Jacob's not consumed. So God's love for us does not change. God's love for us remains the same. Now what I'm trying to say is, that means if somebody, the devil can sometimes tell people, well, you've maybe went wrong, or you've went off, or you backslid, and you're lost. But when that person could see him, the love God had for them, and then when they stumble or whatever takes place, the love's still the same. God is still the same with them. But the devil doesn't want people to believe that. That's why people get down, they get away, they backslide. They have no confidence because the devil brainwashes them, and some preachers as well. You see, we're not on a works program. Now, we believe in works, but we're not saved by them. We do them when we're saved, but we're not saved by them. If it were possible for one of God's elect to totally apostatize and finally perish, it would mean that the Father had purposed something which he failed to make effective. That his love had changed or gone. That's what it would mean. So the fact that God could lose something that he's saved doesn't make the person a failure, but that's saying God's failed. But God can't fail. Now, there's a very famous man in America, and I think he's still living. He's very, very old. I have no time to listen to him, to be honest with you. He preached a sermon once, and he said the biggest failure was God. Now, as soon as he said that, he was the biggest failure. Because God can't fail. God cannot fail. God knows the very end. Any of us could fail. I could fail you. You could fail me. I could let you down. You could let me down. Vice versa. But God doesn't. God never changes. Now consider the lovely person, the Son of God. And think of his meritorial character and work. The elect are committed unto him from the Father. It is the Father that gives us till the Son. No man cometh unto me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him save to him who the Son will reveal him. John 17 verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou givest me. Who gave them to Jesus? His Father. Amen. Do you believe that tonight? That's the Bible. Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, notice he says, thine they were. So he, like some of them fishermen and all, didn't know they were God's, but they were. God knew they were his ever before they came. When you're saved, God knew you were his ever before you get saved. But it was the love of God that drew you, and the Holy Spirit that worked on you to bring your repentance. But you were always where the Lord's. Now it's the same. We believe in predestination, but we don't know everybody the night that's going to come. So we preach it till all. Because whosoever will can come. That's the Bible. But God hasn't lost any. So the idea of God losing somebody's is nonsense. You know, even you could look at the story of the shepherd. He had one missing and he went and got it. In the 199, one went missing, they went and found it. All that thou hast given me, I have kept. And the covenant of redemption Christ offered to act as their surety and serve as their shepherd. So Jesus Christ, under the covenant, is our surety. And he's not just our surety, he's our shepherd. Look at Hebrews 7:22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now we're not redeemed under the Old Testament. We've been redeemed because we're under the New Testament. Jesus Christ's blood's been shed for us. His life has been given for us. And we are the Lord's tonight. We're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord does not lose someone he's redeemed. You see, this involved the most intense task, really, which the history of the universe records. And you'd say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God becoming incarnate. The Bible says he left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He took upon him the form of a man, and he came down to the earth to save us. Magnifying the divine law, but rendering to it perfect obedience. You see, the Old Testament, no man could keep the law, but Christ did. Christ kept it. Pouring out his soul unto death, a sacrifice. Satisfied divine justice. There had to be a satisfaction was required for divine justice. That's what God required. Nobody could satisfy God, but Christ did. And he satisfied God for me and you. For all eternity. So there's nothing can undo that. And the minute somebody makes a blip or a mistake, it doesn't undo it.
solid because the Lord's paid for it. Overcoming death and the grave, and ultimately presenting faultless before God, the whole of his redeemed. And you know one day that Jesus Christ will present faultless before the Father, his redeemed children. Faultless. Now I'll tell you, that's why there's a lot of stuff going about today. And I don't need to mention names, but you'll know it. That about a one-man ministry. And there's a one-man ministry. But you see, that's not scriptural, because Ephesians talks about a five-fold ministry. And it talks that the five-fold ministry is the perfection of the saints under the five-fold ministry, not a one-man ministry. False teaching. Jude 1:24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So the Lord not only can we make it, but the Lord can present us faultless before the Father's throne. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. As the good shepherd, he died for his sheep. And as the great shepherd, it is his office to preserve them from this present evil world. We're preserved. It's God that preserves us. We don't preserve ourselves. If you think you're doing it yourself, I'm telling you, you're in trouble and stay away. Because the Bible says, let him that standeth take heed lest he falls. It's the Lord that preserves us. It's the Lord that keeps us. That's why we need to pray and we need to continually look to the Lord. Amen. If he were to fail in this task, if any of his sheep were lost, where would be his faithfulness and his engagement? But God is a faithful God. And I remember preaching before and showing a load of scriptures and that, how that God's a faithful God. Faithful that he keeps his word. Faithful that he stands over his word. And Jeremiah says he watches over it to perform it and to bring it to pass. Where would be the efficacy of his atonement? How would he triumphantly exclaim it at the end if it failed? Hebrews 2:13, "And again I put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath give me." The Holy Spirit's working in us all the time. Now there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what? The great man of God made a tremendous statement. He said, many people, they have an experience of the baptism, and many of them speak in tongues, and that's it for 10 years. That's it. They keep coming back to that experience, what they had, whatever years ago, and they spoke in tongues, and that's good. But we need to continue on. God can give us more experiences. Amen. One baptism, many fillings. But yet, many times when we don't realize that the Holy Spirit's working on us. Sometimes the enemy wants you to think, oh, the Holy Spirit, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's with you more often than you realize. And he's working on you. And the fact that you have a desire to pray and even come to church, that's the Holy Spirit moving on you. And that he convicts you when you do things, that's the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. Look at Titus. Titus 3 verse 5 and 6 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." That's how we got it. John 14:18 says, chapter 14 verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you." The Lord Jesus Christ himself has promised in his word, it come to us. Now if he's promised it, who believes it tonight? I believe it, that he'll do what he says. Some translations say it like this, "I will not leave you orphans." Now an orphan, someone that's lost their father. And I tell you, God does not leave us as orphans. But he is our father tonight. He doesn't leave us. He's our father. And we can cry, "Abba, Father. Though I leave this world, I will come to you." And we one day, we're in the world, but we're not part of it. But one day, we're going to be taken out of this world. You realize that tonight? We put so much of an emphasis, and all of us do it in our lives in different ways, on this life down here. But one day, we're going to be taken out of this life on earth. We're leaving. And whether we go on the catching up, or whether we're here and we go to the grave, we're going to be taken either way. We're leaving. This is a temporary dwelling we have here. We're leaving. See, the promise was given on the eve of Christ's death was made. It was going to be coming to pass. The promise was a promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, I'm leaving you, but the Holy Spirit's coming. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, you know there's a group in the world today, and you can guess it. You don't even need me to tell you. But they're saying that if you don't play a certain man's preaching in your meeting, the Holy Spirit's not in the meeting. Now, that means saying the Holy Spirit's restricted to one person. Now, that's not even scripture. I tell you, I told a fella that a fella, I sent him a scripture. It was Corinthians. For by one Spirit are we all. For by one Spirit, there's one Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Now, if there's 50 people, just for a number, we know there's more than that, but I'm just saying, let's say God, there's 50 people come tonight and they become born again Christians, and them 50's all baptized into the one body, the mystical body of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Does number one or two get more than number 50 of the Holy Spirit? No. They're all baptized in with the one Spirit, into the one body. Now, God could have, there's different ministries there and different giftings. We know that. We're not talking about that. But the idea of one man, you might as well just, there's no difference in that in the Pope of Rome. Let's be honest about it. It's polished up a bit more, and it's, I'll tell you, someone, there's a religious spirit on it more, on that doctrine. I thank the Lord. I tell you what, we don't need one man to take us in. Jesus Christ, there is one man, the Lord Jesus. But God is a group of people, and there's a fivefold ministry, and there's one Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 15 of John and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify me. Now, there's been a big emphasis made. When you get the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to discern the truth. Now, that's true. That's scripture. It's the Spirit of truth. But when you do discern the truth, a lot of what's called truth, you find out it's not truth. It's man's error. And so many people that put an evidence down and don't want tongues and don't want gifts, and they put an evidence down on other things. And I'm not knocking it, but I'm telling you now, my name's false. Up there, they're getting worse. They're progressively getting worse. They can't get better. They're getting worse. But I'll tell you what, we want the real Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So when you pray, the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth. Which proceeded from the Father, he'll testify of me. Now, isn't that amazing? You should mark that down in your Bible. Yes. Mark it down. Underline it. He will testify of me. Who? The Holy Spirit. So when a man tells you this, here's some man playing, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Nobody else has it. But yet it'll glorify a man. If it glorifies another man, that's a different one than we're working with here. This will glorify Jesus. This will testify of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit comes on a man and preach the gospel, and we saw on Sunday how Paul preached it, death, burial, resurrection is the gospel. We know God is still with his children. He hasn't left us, but the Holy Spirit has come in his name. He's come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, God will not leave you orphans or fail you. Even when maybe we think he's left us, we might think we don't feel God, we don't see God, and all them different things. You can have all them ideas. But the Lord's still with his people. Amen. And I'm going to read you some scriptures before we close this evening. And we're going to pray and remember to pray for Samuel and Andrea. It's not well. And Brother John, by preaching on Sunday morning, and Mark in the evening. Pray for the meetings. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Let's read these. I know the Old Testament had so many more on the New Testament, and too many. I didn't want to bring too much. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Yea, he loved the people, all the saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet, every one shall receive of thy words. He loved the people. And I tell you, God loves his people tonight. You know, I believe that's a sermon of the devil's. God doesn't love you. He preached that to me many years ago, God doesn't love you. And there's so many people today, they're in bondage because they think God doesn't love them. But the Bible's clear, God loves you. Now hold that thought, then we'll put a bit, tell it. God's love never changes for you. So maybe you think the night you got saved, it was great, and God loved you really so much that night, and you could see it, but you don't, you know, it's not there, same now. It's every bit the same of God. Your emotions might have changed a bit, and all them things, that doesn't affect God. God's love for you is still the same. Amen. 1 Samuel 2, verse 8. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. I tell you, our God's great, isn't it? From nowhere, he can lift a man or a woman. From nowhere. People, look at the woman at the well. Now, all them scribes and Pharisees found fault with Jesus when, you know, the disciples picked the ears of the corn and all. That didn't suit them. And when he raised somebody from the dead on a Sunday, that was the Sabbath. That didn't suit them. Every wee thing, Sadducees and Pharisees. But none of them went down past that woman at the well, an ill-famed woman. But the Lord Jesus did. Amen. And he said, neither did I condemn thee. He said, a living watery giver. And she went and testified. Let me read you Job 23, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now I'll tell you what, Job's friends thought he was lost. And sometimes you could come through a battle that nobody knows about. You could come through a trial that nobody knows about. And the devil could tell you, well, maybe you've done something wrong. And other people could know you're struggling. And they could say, see, that God's judgment's in that fellow. And this and that and all the rest of it. Job's friends, they said it. They didn't hide it, they said it. But I'll tell you what, I shall come forth as gold. Jack Coe sang that. That's for Jack Coe got a song. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. When he's done, I shall come forth as gold. You know how he starts a song? I can see Satan. Behold him. Looking through the ladder, waiting to get at him. And you know, even when Jesus was on the cross, it said, the bulls of Bashan compassed me about. That's demon powers. They compassed the Lord about at the cross. But they didn't know what they're working with. For it says, had they known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. Coming forth as gold. Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Quit worrying. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Now you're the work of God's hands. How many believes that tonight? You're not the work of a minister's hands. Now, God might have used a man somewhere or a verse or a tract, that's true, but you're the work of God's hands. It is the Lord that's done it for you. Amen? And I'll tell you what, he hasn't left you, and he's going to bring you forth as gold, pure gold. You know the gold has to go through the fires and all, but it's gold to start with. Before it goes through them fires and all the impurities come out of it, it's still gold. But it's refined then, and it comes forth pure. Proverbs 12, verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Amen. Many times, even the psalmist talks about it, when you see people doing well and they're living like the devil type of thing, you could say to yourself, here, I'm getting it tight. Look at that. But we're not to worry about any of that. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold says. Amen. Here's my last scripture and then I'm going to close. Jeremiah 32 verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. And I know a lot of this is to Israel, but we're spiritual Israel. We're the royal seed of Abraham. Amen. You know scripture can have the compound meaning. We know that. And it's the same with Israel. God's never forsaken Israel either. Israel's going to be saved. God's going to save them. And he's going to seal 144,000. And it's not the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness or any AM or false groups. It's the Jews. And Moses and Elijah's going to go down there and preach them and seal them. Wonder how they'll do it with the same Holy Spirit you were sealed with. Amen? By one Spirit. You're baptized into one body. Let's come and pray tonight and pray for all the needs and the services that lay ahead. God will have his way in the meetings and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each one of us. Lord, many times, Lord, we would fail you, we would let you down, but we thank you that you've never failed us. You've never let us down, but your love is with us. We thank you that you said, Job knew, I shall come forth as gold. And Lord, I thank you that none that you said to the Father, none that thou hast given me have I lost, save the son of perdition. We thank you, Lord, tonight we're in your hands. We're in your keeping. And Lord, I do pray for everyone in this room and all our families, representative, brothers, sisters, all the relations, Lord, that you'll cover each and every one of us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Save all of our children. Seal them in with the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the leadership, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, for the comfort and strength and blessing of the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise. Lord, we do remember Samuel tonight. We pray you'll touch him. Pray also you'll minister unto them and speak to them. Lord, and just move in him. Speak into his innermost being in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch Andrea as well, Lord. Touch her in her body. Strengthen her. Take these colds and flus away. And bugs. Lord, just have your way in her lives. We pray. Bless all the nurses, doctors. Lord, each and every one, Lord, in their fellowship and others as well, Lord, that we don't know, bless them tonight. Pray for those in leadership that you bless them and give them wisdom. Pray for Israel tonight. Bless Israel, for they're your chosen people. Keep them about on every side. And Lord, just have your way in our lives, I pray. Pray for John, for Sunday morning of Amos Tower, that you bless them, strengthen them. Lord Jesus, let your hand be upon them. Use them mightily, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for Mark for the evening service. Bless Mark. Strengthen Mark and use him to your glory, I pray. And add to your work such as should be saved, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we do pray again that you'll get us a place. Lord, for what can be sanctified and no one else in it. In the name of Jesus Christ, and Lord, we pray that you'll bring people in. And I pray you'll give people a real backbone, that they'll not be so easily put off. But Lord, that you'll make us, give us a real baptism of stickability. In this evil hour, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for unspoken requests tonight, for a brother, for a sister, meet every need, answer prayer. Have your way in our lives, have your way in our homes, upon our children, and meet needs, Lord. Financial needs, blessed down, running over the top. In Jesus' precious name, and healing in people's bodies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we ask again for George and Winifred, that you'll speak to them, that you'll move upon them, rid them of fear and anxiety. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. And Father, just have your way in their lives, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we just commit the rest of the night to you and pray that you'll lead men and women to pray. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us. But we thank you that the Holy Spirit is the great helper, the great comforter. And we just bless you now, Lord, and thank you now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.